to Prophetic Journal, the program that tells you the truth about Jesus.
Okay, starting in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No. But on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. And since there is only one God who will justify the uncircumcised by faith and the circumcised through the same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. We uphold the truth of the law, because what does the law tell us? And it told us earlier, we didn't read all that in Romans 3. But it tells us about observing the law. What the purpose of the law was to show us we were in sin. It tells us earlier in verse 3, in chapter 3, there is no one righteous, no, not even one. There is no one who understands and no one who seeks God. All have turned away and have together, altogether, become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are shipped to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is man's natural nature. We are by nature objects of wrath. Every one of us. The law proves this, and this is why the law was given. This is why boasting is excluded, because we receive the gift of a relationship with God through the Spirit, through faith. It's not on observing the law. The observance of the law was designed to show you you're a sinner and cannot please God in the flesh. The law shows that all are sinners and none is righteous. Jesus, being the only one to fulfill the law, showed that he was the only one righteous. And he wasn't born of Adam, he was born of God. He was sent from heaven. And that only by having faith in that sacrifice can you be saved. This is the premise of our gospel. So then there is no boasting, because observing the law does not make you righteous. And so we do not nullify the law when we enter in through faith, just because the Jews couldn't enter in. We don't nullify the law, because both the circumcised and uncircumcised can only be saved through faith in that sacrifice. But rather we uphold the law. And how do we uphold the law? By entering in through faith. We show that the law was true in what it said. We are sinners. We show that Jesus was righteous by being able to keep God's law. And therefore we see the law fulfilled in Christ, and therefore in us, by acting in faith to that sacrifice. It's the law who prophesied a sacrifice would be provided for sin. And Jesus is identified as that sacrifice. So, by entering in through faith, we uphold the law. Now, so what shall we say then? That Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter. If in fact Abraham was justified by works, like keeping a law, then he'd have something to boast about. That would mean he earned it. But not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. Now, I want you to see how the works are being characterized as you trying to fulfill God's law yourself, or you trying to please God from acts that you do. But understand this basic point, which all of Scripture backs up. It doesn't matter how many seemingly outward righteous acts you do, that does not change the fact that you have a nature of sin, which the law shows you through your evil actions. You have a nature of sin, and you cannot get rid of that nature of sin except to die. Jesus overcomes that nature of sin through his sacrifice by dying in your place. And so therefore, by counting yourself dead with Christ, you can count yourself alive through faith to God. That is the reconciliation of our relationship to God, where we were cut off in sin. Now we can commune with God, and through that we can have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us through faith, so that we can have a real communion with God. God in us. So when a man works, it's what he's earned. His wages aren't credited him as a gift, but as an obligation. And that's how we're talking about works. We're not talking about works that faith produce. There's a difference. We're talking about works you would earn. Where you would, like going to work, you earn money. Where you do things and earn something. We're showing here you cannot earn salvation by doing works. You cannot change that sinful nature by doing seemingly righteous acts that the law requires. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. God provided a sacrifice. We trusted God to justify us because we couldn't justify ourselves. And that sacrifice is Jesus. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. He says, "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered." Not who overcome sin themselves in the flesh, but who are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. So what we have through faith in the sacrifice of Christ, where God justifies you through the blood and body of Christ, we have God forgiving you of your sin, giving you righteousness as a gift, not any righteousness you earned of yourself. Is this blessedness only then for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? Is it only for those who followed the law, or for those who weren't under the law, this blessedness? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised, or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. See, Abraham was counted righteous according to his heart through faith before he ever received the sign of circumcision. Now, we need to talk about this a little bit so we understand it clearly. Circumcision is done in that male member because that's where a man procreates. And God promised Abraham that through his line he would be blessed. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac came about not by Abraham being able to produce Isaac, because Sarah's womb was barren and Abraham was old, and so was Sarah. Next to dead, it says, God made Abraham made Isaac come to life in Sarah's womb. He made life where there could be no life. So it wasn't just that member of Abraham that caused Sarah to become pregnant. It was God keeping his promise. It wasn't what Abraham and Sarah could produce of themselves. As you remember, when they did try to produce to make the promise come true, they ended up with an Ishmael through Hagar. But that was only producing according to the flesh. And that's the point. Any kind of works you do of yourself that are produced of the flesh are only fleshly. They're not spiritual. And they're not the blessings of God. And they can't please God, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You understand that? You can't produce anything according to the flesh that's good, because your nature is a sinner. So Abraham and Sarah, by nature, could not produce a child of promise. God had to fulfill his own promise. Now, when it was announced to Abraham that in Isaac his seed shall be called, and through Isaac he'd be the father of many nations, Abraham understood something that a lot of people today don't understand. That even though God was bringing them physically Isaac and making life where there could be no life, Isaac was only a picture of the true seed to whom the promise is made, Jesus. Jesus is the true child of promise. And Abraham received that sign of circumcision in his male member that God had blessed his procreation, that God had blessed his line. But not just a blessing according to the physical. That was only the example. A blessing according to the spiritual. So that all who believe, all who enter into faith, are Abraham's children. And that was a sign of the faith. Because faith didn't start in the male member. Faith started in the heart. Abraham believed with his heart and was given that sign in his member of the faith that started in his heart. And in the heart, we're talking about the spirit. Faith starts in the spirit and is manifested in the flesh. So all of these ideas and all of these pictures, like Isaac, were manifested in the flesh. And so the seal was given to him in the flesh upon his male member. But it started in his heart. And that's where the true promises of God are, in the spirit. So Isaac was only a figure manifesting, but the truth was Jesus, the man from heaven, that only God could provide. That only God, and you can see how he made life where there could be no life by planting Jesus in Mary's womb. And this was a picture of him planting Jesus as a seed in this dead earth, because this earth was dead in sin and could produce no life unto God. It speaks of Jesus in Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before God, Jesus, as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. The only life in a dead planet. Just like Isaac was the only life in Sarah's dead womb. Just like Jesus planted in Mary was the only life that where no man had been. Where no flesh could produce, God did. And our faith is in what God produces. Our faith is in how God justifies us. So how did Abraham receive this? He received it as a Gentile, because he was a Babylonian called out of Ur from his family's house. And so he received this while he was still uncircumcised. And by receiving it, the promise while he was still uncircumcised, and receiving the seal of circumcision while he was still uncircumcised, shows that Abraham is not only the father of those who are circumcised according to the flesh, but he's also the father of those who are not circumcised and share his faith. Can y'all see that? So it wasn't anything that Abraham earned. It was he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And you see how Isaac became the figure for Christ, the real seed to whom the promise was made, by Abraham taking Isaac up to sacrificing, a picture of God's only son. Take thy son, thine only son. And by the angel staying his hand, he did receive a son back from life again. And he was willing to follow God's promise, it tells us in Hebrews 11, because he reasoned that God was able to resurrect the dead. He'd already promised, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, so he didn't stumble at the promise, because he reasoned that God would be able to raise Isaac from the dead, and so he did what God told him to do. In this way, he greeted Jesus as both the sacrifice and the resurrection and the life. And he greeted him through the figure of Isaac. And so it's through that same sacrifice that this gospel is announced in advance to Abraham. A gospel of faith, and a righteousness that comes by faith, and not of observing law. Now, how many of you can see that? Just type in a 1 if you can get that. So, is this blessedness only for the circumcised? But also for the uncircumcised. What we have been saying is that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe and have not been circumcised.
in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but also who walk in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham, that which he had before he was circumcised. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless. Because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. And that's what you have now by faith, God calling things that are not as though they were. You don't yet appear as a child of God because you don't have the resurrection, but God calls you a child through faith. And this is how we have salvation. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and so you believe God and it is credited to you as righteousness through the sacrifice of Christ. And so you see, but you know, this, so faith precedes works. Works can't earn you anything with God. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. But we have to deal with the truth now that faith will be revealed through what it does. Because you do not yet appear as you shall, right? But the truth of what's in you, for it to be revealed for people to be seen and bring God glory, has to be revealed through what you do. In the same way your sin, your sinful nature, was revealed through the law by what you did. If you had a sinful, corrupt nature, you were a thief, and you were a liar, and you were a murderer, and you were this and that. You were one who dishonored their parents, and the law revealed it. You were one who coveted. You were under the law's wrath and judgment. You were by nature an object of wrath. And the law showed you what your nature was by what you did. You know, the actions didn't come first. You did something evil to earn an evil name. I want you to see that. The actions didn't come first. You didn't do something evil to earn an evil name with God. You didn't have to do an evil thing to earn an evil name with God because you were born with an evil nature. And that evil nature caused you to do evil things. It is always the nature that must be changed first, not the acts. And that's where the Jews messed up. They didn't mix the law with faith, and they tried to justify themselves by fooling themselves that they were keeping the law. They weren't keeping the law. They were keeping an interpretation of the law that was by men. This is called the tradition of the elders. They didn't keep the law because they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't look for God to help them fulfill it. And it showed that their actions were evil, therefore showing them that their nature was evil. All who are under the law are under the curse. Jesus came and purchased us out from under the law and its curse. Because we could never fulfill it ourselves, he not only fulfilled it, but that gave him the right, when the law judged him to be righteous, that gave him the right to be called the Lamb of God, the sacrifice the law promised to cover sin. You see how that works. All right, so looking in James, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about, you know, works don't precede faith. Faith precedes works. It starts with faith. All right. He says in verse 12 of chapter 2, this is a good place to start. Or 8, verse 8. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, what's the royal law? We're not talking about the law of sin and death. We're talking about the royal law, which is the fulfillment of the law.
a summation of the law, the royal law. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love others as yourself. That's the fulfillment of the law, isn't it? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Can such a faith save him? Now hear what James is saying. What good is it for you to say you have faith and no deeds to back that up? Faith without deeds is dead. Because faith, if faith is true, it will manifest itself in what it does, won't it? If you have faith in God, it's not just because you say, "I have faith in God," but your faith will be manifested in what you do, won't it? How did Abraham find out? God told him to go follow him and go to a place that he would show him, a land he would give him. And Abraham was obedient and went and left his father and his father's household. Could Abraham have been considered faithful? Faithful? If he had not been obedient? If he had not had works that showed what his faith was? Sure, Abraham is justified by his faith. But your faith is demonstrated in what you do. Could Abraham have been considered faithful if he didn't take Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him when God told him to? That wouldn't have been faith. That would have been disobedience. You starting to see what this is? What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothing or daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," just what you say, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do." See, the point is, you cannot show me your faith without works, because it's invisible. Nobody can see faith. What's the only way you can see faith? In the same way you can only see sin. How do you see the nature of sin? This is why the law branded your actions as transgressions of the law, as sin, sinful acts. Because that's how you see the sin nature, through what it does. So how do you see a nature of faith? Through what it does. So if you say to me, "Show me your faith without deeds," I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham half considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed and God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Hear that. Not by faith alone. Hear that, all those once saved, always saved people who think they can just say the pretty words and they're done. Not by faith alone. Faith is accompanied by deeds. It's not truly faith without deeds. Faith without works is dead. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Can you see that? What gives life to your faith is what you do. There's no such thing as faith apart from what it does. It can't be, if it can't be demonstrated, then it's not faith. It's time for us to grow up. And so this leads us to an interesting thing. Obedience. All of this we read in James. Obedience. Abraham was obedient and went. Deeds are about obedience. There can be no faith without obedience. If you are disobedient, that's not faith. That's sin. Your actions are supposed to line up with what you believe. Faith will produce actions. Faith will produce works. Faith will produce obedience. If it's truly faith. Faith is active, just like love is active. I can't just come up and say, I love you. I must love you. And love implies you doing something to love, doesn't it? It's an action, taking action to care. It's not just an idea. You can't love your brothers and sisters and say, you know, just tell them, go be warm, be well, be fed, and not do anything for them when you see them in need, can you? That's not love. Love without an action is dead. Faith without action is dead. Sin without action is dead. These are natures, and they produce actions. And if you're walking by the nature of faith, what you believe, your actions will show what you believe. It's a fact of life. It's time for us to grow up, huh? It's a good place to stop.
Thank you. This is R.S. Neville with Prophetic Journal. Please join us again here on Know Radio, knowingyou.org. Remember to support them in all that they're doing to bring you the gospel. God bless you.